Good morning, everyone. I'm just going to read the announcements, but there is a copy if you want to look at it yourself. And there's also for all of the dates for the fridge inside today. It is Communion Sunday today. Please partake if you wish. Everyone is welcome. Unfortunately, Lois Ferguson has passed away. And there will be a funeral on February 9th. I don't have any other details, but I'm sure somebody does. Okay, it's at Wilson's. Okay. Do we have a time or?
I can't remember.
Okay.
It's not till the 9th.
Okay. Collection day for the Agape Kids Community Kitchen is today. And then during February, we're collecting fruit cups, and then the collection will be March 1st for that, so get the fruit cups in before then. The Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper, February 17th from 5 to 6:30. Thank you for the volunteers who have signed up, and if you still want to sign up, there are still some volunteer spots. And at the back, there is a list if you want to contribute any ingredients or needed items. And there's also some flyers to put out if you have a community bulletin board somewhere in your life or a store window that you can put the flyer in there at the back as well. The annual meeting on Sunday, March 1st, after worship service, please come, and everyone's voice is needed. And the UCW February gathering is Tuesday, February 24th at 1 p.m., everyone is invited. The new hymn books are available to purchase for $25. You can see Debbie or Kim Baird. And the offering envelopes for 2026 are ready to be picked up at the back as well. And then the income tax receipts are also at the back. So there's lots at the back to check out. So please do. Thank you. Enjoy service.
Yes, thank you, and good morning, everyone. If you haven't seen me before, my name is Donald. I'm a retired, ordained United Church of Canada minister, and I'm just filling in today for your incumbent minister, Aaron. And as always, it's always an honor to be with you today. As we gather on this day of worship on the first Sunday of February, we pause to acknowledge that we are on the traditional territory of indigenous peoples who have cared for this land for countless generations. We honor First Peoples' respect for and connection to Earth and their continued presence among us today. As settlers, we commit ourselves to the ongoing journey of truth, reconciliation, healing, and peace in the spirit of right relations and shared hope for the future. Let us work to make the promise and the challenge of truth and reconciliation real in our communities.
Praise your name, God our Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
God made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. God executes justice for the oppressed.
God gives food to the hungry.
God sets the prisoners free.
God opens the eyes of the blind.
God lifts up those who are bowed down.
God watches over the strangers and upholds the orphan and the widow.
Let us worship God. We are partners, participants in the work of God.
Together we are committed to helping build a city where no one journeys alone.
The virtues contained in your way, O God, as taught by the prophets and the wisdom writers, and especially by Jesus, are
to walk with integrity,
to do what is right,
to speak truth yet from the heart,
to not slander with words, to not shame our neighbor.
To stand by our promise.
We gather here, O God, to have these virtues born in us through our spiritual time with you.
By this hour we dedicate ourselves to the stability of our neighbors.
By these virtues, draw us closer to you in worship.
Amen.
We, your people, meet to our
Mark Halperin, in Winter's Tale, wrote these profound words: "Little men spend their days in pursuit of small things. I know from experience that at the moment of their deaths, they see their lives shattered before them like glass. Not so those who know the virtues and who live by them. The world goes this way and that. Ideas are in fashion or not, and those who should prevail are often defeated. But it doesn't matter. The virtues remain uncorrupted and uncorruptible. They are rewards in themselves, the bulwarks with which we can protect our vision of beauty, and the strength by which we may stand unperturbed in the storm that comes when seeking God. The people who dedicate themselves to the stability of the neighbors will be stable themselves.
God blesses our commitment to the way of Jesus. We are welcomed, accepted, and loved. Thanks to God. Amen.
May our scripture enable us to see you here, O God. We follow the way of Jesus, we seek justice, and who walk on the earth where you walk. May we be led to walk in the midst of humble and lowly people, vulnerable and weak, who seek refuge, who seek inclusion and understanding and love. May we be the means through which they will find pasture and lie down unafraid. Amen. Focus lesson is Psalm 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart, who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor heap shame upon their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath, even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest, and who do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved." May our sacred story help us as Knox St. Paul's United Church to hear God's continuing call to us: "I'm setting you up in public ministry so that my presence through you becomes known to all who journey alone."
This is a great psalm. I think it was written all those years ago by some prophet who knew that there would be a Knox St. Paul's United Church in Cornwall. So it's definitely your psalm. It starts out with these interesting words of a question. And we have to kind of imagine how it would have been to go to the one and only place of worship, really, of sacrifice, which was in Jerusalem for the Jewish people. And Jewish people lived, of course, in Jerusalem, but also around in that area, Judea. But they also lived in Persia, what is now known as Iran. They lived in Iraq. They lived in the Arabian Peninsula. They were scattered all over the place. And if they really wanted to get close to God, they had to make a pilgrimage, which usually meant that they only came once a year. And even that was expensive, and not all of them could. But you imagine them arriving in Jerusalem and then going to the Temple Mount. And there, they're about to enter into a very, very, very considered very holy place. So they probably would have been questioned. They just aren't going to let anyone in, right? And there'd be various levels. There'd be spectator level, and then there'd be a little closer would be the Gentiles who had accepted God as God. And then there would be those who had been living properly and fulfilled all the laws. And then there were those who and so on, until we got to the high priest who alone could go to the Holy of Holies. So this idea of a question is in the psalm is really kind of reflecting an experience that people would have normally had, and perhaps reflects even the question they were asked. Like, who can abide in your tent, God? And who can live on your holy hill? These are questions really, though, in the psalm that the psalmist is asking differently than getting into Jerusalem or into the temple. Is asking the question, how do we live in the presence of God every day? How do we experience that presence? And if we do go to the holy hill, how do we experience God's presence? What is the way in which we do that? And what gets listed then is a word we've already used quite a bit, and it's virtues. And it's kind of an old-fashioned word now. It's kind of funny. We don't use the word very often, virtues. But it's an important, important word. I'm not sure we have a better word to replace it. And the idea of it isn't so much that these are old-fashioned things that we've moved on from. They're just things that we've kind of set aside because of so many more what we might consider important things. And yet here they are listed. These are the things that are listed for how we live our everyday life in the presence of God. It isn't that we get the presence of God by coming here. This is a good thing to do. We come here and we gather together to support each other and to also have a spiritual experience of God. But we can experience God all over the place. And actually, we want to experience God all over the place, everywhere we go and everywhere we live. So how do we do that? How is that made possible? Especially considering that God is everywhere, and yet sometimes when we're everywhere or anywhere, we're not actually there. An awful lot of the times, we're probably somewhere else, at least in our heads. So the psalmist gives us a list of these virtues, of how we live in the presence of God all the time. And I've got this piece of paper so I don't forget any of them. The first one was walk blamelessly and do what is right. And this meant, well, one of the things to consider, first of all, is the word walk. It's an odd thing when you think about it, but we're quite used to the idea of a walk. Well, you know, you walk as, you know, we walk the talk. We use that slogan. The reason why that word still gets used today is because it comes out of the Bible. And the reason it's in the Bible so much is that in their time, you spend an awful lot of time walking. If you wake up in the morning and decide to have toast and open up your bread drawer and there's no bread there, it's maybe 5 to 10 minutes you can have a loaf of bread. You just hop out in the car, unless it's a big snowstorm, take a little longer. But typically you hop in the car, you go down to the corner store, you get a loaf of bread, you come home, you make your toast. You've lost 10 minutes. In those days, there were no cars, of course. Nobody had horses. Not back then. Those were things that only very, 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 very wealthy people or more military had, and not many of those even. A donkey might have a donkey, but mostly the people who have donkeys were people who had to do trade in another place. It took a while to get there, and they had to pull a cart to get all their trade goods there and back again, and so on. So you probably didn't even have a donkey. And if you had a donkey, they weren't much faster than a person walking. That is, if you could even get the donkey to move, because sometimes they can be stubborn. So you spent a lot of time walking. If you went and did anything, you walked. So you spent more time walking around than you did actually doing anything, because it always took time to get somewhere. It takes a lot of time to walk. We're not used to it. We just get in a car or get on a bus. So this word of walking really is a really interesting word that they use because it reflects how much time they spent doing it. So to walk blamelessly meant to walk with integrity. It meant to live with integrity, doing what is right. Integrity. To have integrity.
You know, again, that's one of those kind of funny old-fashioned ideas. Who does that anymore? You know, when we look more and more at the news, and as the news continues to come out, you think, man, you can't even make this stuff up. You couldn't make up the news if you tried. So integrity sounds really like an odd, weird, old-fashioned concept. But to live with integrity enables us to live in the presence of God. To speak the truth. But I love the fact that they add the heart. To speak the truth from the heart. That's really important. We can hurt people easily by just speaking the truth. That's easy to do, you know. But when we speak the truth from the heart, it changes it a bit. We don't have to actually hurt anybody. We can say it differently. We can move around it. There's all kinds of things we can do. But speaking the truth is important from the heart. That's even better. To not slander with our tongue. And that includes, of course, gossiping about people. And that's listed here as an important virtue. To not gossip about people. To not cause their reputation to be harmed. To not do evil deeds to friends and neighbors. To not heap shame upon neighbors. To stand by our oath. To stand by our word. If whatever we say. And we do, as to the best of our abilities. And if we make promises, we keep them to the best of our abilities. To not lend money at interest. Here again is an interesting word because it just gets translated money. But money wasn't a common thing then. You know who had money? People with a lot of it. The average person had very little in the way of money. If you had a coin, that was pretty cool. What most people had was trade goods. You had something, either a service you could perform or some kind of goods that you could share. And that's what you did. You shared those goods with someone else and they shared goods with you and you traded back and forth and so on. So this is really not talking so much about lending money at interest. It means trying to do a bad deal. A deal that benefits you but doesn't benefit the neighbor. And to not take advantage of the poor is what it really is saying. And don't take a bribe against the innocent. Good. Now, once you've read that last one, do not take a bribe against the innocent. You got to wonder if anybody who follows the way of Jesus could even be in politics today. Because everybody in politics, it seems like, is in so many words doing something that benefits them and nobody else. But I think probably really we do need more people who follow the way of Jesus to be in politics. It's just who of us would really want to be? This list is repeated in various forms throughout the scripture. Our lectionary that we use each Sunday, there's usually four scripture lessons that are in it. We try to focus on one because that's about all that's all I can focus on at a time. But there's usually four of them, and sometimes there's even five or six. Jesus kind of summarized these things in a very interesting, different way. That's also, if we were looking at the gospel lesson today, he talks about the poor in spirit in the Beatitudes. The poor in spirit. These are those that are not poor. It's those who understand that they're not all that. It's those who have let go of entitlement. It's those who have checked their privilege and know when they're privileged. That's the poor in spirit. Those who mourn for so many different kinds of losses. Not just their own, though, but the losses of those around them. Those who are meek. See, meekness is another one of those weird translations that we've been stuck with because of thanks to King James. But the word that's in there meant you're not violent, you're not coercive, but you're not moved. To be meek in the original Greek sense of that word that was used by Jesus meant that you weren't going to go and take take over somebody else or do something to somebody else, but you were unmovable. You were not going to be moved. You had boundaries, this far and no further. Those who hunger and thirst for justice, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for the sake of justice. That's how Jesus summarized this very same virtues. Psalm 146 was another. There was two psalms in the lectionary for today. This is the other one, Psalm 146. Lists these virtues. Keep faith forever. Execute justice for the oppressed. Give food to the hungry. Set the prisoners free. Open the eyes of the blind. Lift up those who are bowed down. Love the righteous. Watch over strangers. Uphold the orphan and widow. The prophet Micah is also a passage in our lectionary today, and it sums it up in really simple words. Do justice. Love kindness. That is compassion. Walk humbly with God. That is, walk on the earth. The word humble there actually means earth. Walk on the earth where God walks, and God walks with the vulnerable. But there's a faith community that has taken this whole thing and summarized it to one little sentence that's just so profoundly powerful that it's an exquisite simplicity. And it goes like this. Help build a city where no one journeys alone. Can't say it much simpler than that. That pretty much sums up all of those virtues. If we just did that, it'd be hard to break any of those virtues at all. So what's the point of that? What's the point of that? Well, it's those who do these things, as you read, shall never be moved. We get shook up by a lot of stuff, and especially nowadays. And we get shook up because we get afraid. Or we get shook up because we're confused. Or we get shook up because we're undecided. Or we get shook up for any number of other emotional reasons. But by taking these things and really thinking about living with integrity, living with being blameless, speaking the truth but from the heart, not slandering others, not gossiping, not doing the wrong thing to neighbors and friends, to not heap shame on people, to stand by our word and keep our word, and to not take advantage of the poor, and to not take opportunities that will give us something that will hurt someone else. By doing those things, we actually live in the presence of God, and we shall not be moved, and we shall not be shaken. That's why so often Jesus says, do not be afraid. He says that all the time. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. Because we are firmly established in something, and that is God's love. And we're established in it because of the way we live together with each other and with our neighbors, even neighbors who maybe don't live as well as they should, even neighbors who break these virtues. That doesn't change who we are. We don't live that way because they do. We live this way because we want to live in the presence of God who loves us and transfigures us. Notice what's not in this list. Have you noticed what's not in it? There's no doctrines and dogmas in here. There's no statement of what you have to believe. There's nothing in here about original sin, about a penal substitution, atonement, a theory of atonement. There's nothing in here about any kind of doctrine that you have to hold on to or you're on your way to the bad place. There's none of that listed here. It's only behaviors. It's only attitudes. It's only character that's listed. You notice what's not listed here is not a bunch of rituals, not a bunch of religiosity. It's good to worship. And worship is like a womb that enables us to have these virtues strengthened in us. But we're not required to do any of these kinds of rituals. If we don't follow certain rituals, if we don't confess all of our wrongs and repent of them, we won't get to heaven. And all, there's none of that's listed in here. None of these kind of religiosity. In fact, all it just tells us is how we should live with others. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much all that's there. To live in the presence of God just requires those kinds of things that we can sum up. We can have this list if you want. You can put it on your fridge, or you can just sum it up maybe as Michael did and say, love, seek justice, love compassion, and spend some time where God spends time with the vulnerable. That's it. That's all we'd have to do. Or if you really want to make it super easy, just help build a city where no one journeys alone. That would be pretty much it. That's how we live in the presence of God. And you don't do that sitting here. You sit here to remember that that's how we live every day. That's how we should be living. And when we live that way, we live in the presence of God. So you maybe see why this psalm was, I'm pretty sure, a prophetic message to you guys. We just don't want to let go of it, though. We don't want to take it easy. We don't want to forget that this is what we're called to. All of us, all Christians. But you've got a little glimpse of this in a special way that you want to really hold on to. Because this is how we change our world, bit by bit. It's not changing fast enough, but it changes a little bit. Ideas change the world. And this is an idea that's been around for a long time, and look at it, we still wonder. We still wonder when it'll all be perfected. And maybe it never will. But until we go to life beyond death, this is what we're called to do. This is our commission. And for my part, I want to do this the best I can with the opportunities I'm given, with the abilities that I have. And you too. And God bless you in that. We're aware that we have a communion to do today, but we want to have an opportunity. If anyone brought something you'd like to share, we want to make sure we did. I just realized I was standing there going, you know what? I think the last time I was here, I forgot this. But anyway, I apologize if I left anyone out.
Just bring this with me so I get it clear. It says, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? I wonder if they had NIMBY back then. Not in my backyard. We are literally on the hill. We are offering the place for people to come and dwell. We are following what we're asked to do, but we're being told that we can't do it, or they don't want us to do it because they don't want those people. Isn't that what we're here for? We are here for those people. This week, with this bitter cold snap, there's been one, I believe it was a gentleman, passed away. Two are in the ICU that were living in the tent city. And you read the comments going, something must be done. Something must be done. Well, here's an option. Oh, no, well, we can't do that. You can't have it both ways. We are following literally what our scripture says and offering a place for them to live. We are sharing our holy hill. That's how I always think of this church, as the church on the hill. When you pull up, coming up that street, you see the church up on the hill, especially in the evenings when the lights are lit, and it's just a beacon. No matter what happens, we have to stay that beacon. We have to let people dwell on our holy hill.
So we, at this point, want to recognize our offerings and our gifts. We bring many things. Certainly, we live in a world where money matters. It's not like it was back in the time of the Psalms. But we also bring our abilities, we bring our gifts, we bring our time. And even this hour that you might share with one another, this is a really important gift that we give to one another and to God. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? So let's join now in our communion hymn, number 469.
We gather here in Jesus' name.
So this is the table of our Savior Christ Jesus, and as such we turn away no one. Rather, Jesus invites to his table everyone, everyone, regardless of any kinds of divisions we've ever had in the church, whether relating to your religious status or your religious affiliation or your sexual orientation or your gender identity or your, immigration status. I mean, we've always had so many things that we've used to divide ourselves, but Jesus wants all of us and loves all of us and welcomes and accepts all of us, so everyone is invited. May God be with us. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them unto God.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to offer thanks and praise.
We give you thanks, O God, for the virtues that help us to live in harmony, with the various aspects of our own being individually. Allow us to live in harmony with each other in our faith community and outside of it, to allow us to live in harmony with you so that we live in your presence. We thank you, O God, for giving us these means to be unmoved, to be so established that nothing can make us afraid, nothing can make us confused, nothing can make us lack courage. We thank you for the way of Jesus that Jesus gave to us, that we have the opportunity to walk in that way and be a blessing on this earth as Jesus was a blessing. And therefore we praise you, O God, lifting our voices with creation as we sing. On the night that Jesus was given over to suffering and death, O God, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, O God, he broke the bread and passed it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. And again, giving you thanks, he passed it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." Therefore, in obedience to our Savior's command, we remember Christ Jesus singing, "Pour out your Holy Spirit, O God, upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that they may become for us the body and blood of Christ Jesus, signs of God, Christ's presence with us and of your presence, O God. Sanctify us also that we may be worthy bearers of the sacrament of your presence, of your love to those where we live and work and study and play." Now the Eucharistic prayer is quite long and I need to interrupt it to make a little correction I messed up with on the slides. You'll see there the very first place you come in is "let theirs," it should be "be," not "is." "Let theirs be the kingdom of heaven." So, "Blessed to you, O God, be the poor in spirit."
"Let theirs be the kingdom of heaven."
"Blessed to you, O God, be those who mourn."
"Let them be comforted."
"Blessed to you, O God, be the meek." "Blessed to you be those who hunger and thirst for righteousness."
"Let them be filled."
"Blessed to you, O God, be the merciful."
"Let them see mercy."
"Blessed to you be the pure in heart."
"Let them see you, God."
"Blessed to you be the peacemakers."
"Let them be called your children, O God."
"Blessed to you be those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness."
"Let them be
And we offer this basket of stones, O God, because you know the prayers that are represented there, and you know even the prayers in our hearts that we haven't even thought of yet. And you hear all these prayers, and you answer prayer. In the communion of the Holy Spirit, St. Paul, John Knox, and all the saints and heroes of faith, we commit ourselves anew this day to Christ Jesus our Lord, through whom, with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, all loving Creator, now and forever. We gather these in all our prayers, thankful that we may turn to you, O God, as to our mother who loves us, singing the prayer Jesus taught us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world.
Have mercy on us.
O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world.
Have mercy on us. Our prayer.
O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world.
Grant us your peace.
So these are the gifts of God for the people of God. This is the bread of heaven. This is the cup of salvation. And to let those who are sharing this with you come at this time. Let's join in our prayer after communion. Blessed are you, O God, creator of the universe. By your goodness, we have bread, a gift from the earth refined by human hands. Blessed are you, O God, creator of the universe. By your goodness, we have wine, a gift from the earth refined by human hands. Blessed are you, O God, creator of the universe. By your goodness, we have oneness with you and with one another. As you have transfigured virtues in us by your presence,
make us a blessing in all the places where we live and work with God and His light.
Amen. Let's join in our closing hymn.
Lord, you give the great commission.
Thank you. Let's just be seated for a moment. We're nearly finished here. Amid the cares that claim us, we just sang, amid the cares that claim us, hold in mind eternity. Amid the cares of everyday life that claim us, let's keep in mind the eternal presence of God with us, and that you are God's eternal children. So our commissioning today is live in the presence of God by walking the way of Jesus as you are able with the opportunities that you are given. Do the best with what you know, and when you know better, do better. Blessings come to us on their way to someone else. Sometimes you and I will forget. Sometimes you and I will not have courage. But remember, when we are weak, and may the God of virtue, sacred life, divine light, and Holy Spirit go with you today and always.